KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy and 10 degrees above zero. We look for skies to be partly to mostly cloudy today, a high around 29. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. The Iowa Department of Transportation reports a public information meeting will be held Tuesday, March 11th, to discuss the reconstruction of the Interstate 29 and U.S. Highway 275 and Iowa Highway 92 interchange in Council Bluffs, work for which is scheduled to begin in June of this year. Anyone interested is invited to attend the meeting anytime between 4 and 7 p.m. Again, that's next Tuesday at the Iowa School for the Deaf's Community Room at the LEED Multipurpose Complex in Council Bluffs at 3501 Harry Langdon Boulevard. A group question and answer session will begin at 6:30 that evening with a 3-minute limit per speaker. The meeting will be conducted utilizing an open forum format. Iowa DOT staff will be present to informally discuss the proposed improvements, but no formal presentations will be made. Now, the project area construction begins on I-29 from about 1.3 miles south of U.S. Highway 275 to just north of the 275 ramps and the Iowa 275 Highway 92 from Metro Mall Drive east to Harry Langdon Boulevard in Council Bluffs, including the I-29 and U.S. 275 and 92 interchange. The proposed construction consists of new roadway embankments, walking trails, bridge structures, and other features, including the removal and reconstruction of 6 bridges and removal of portions of the existing roadway embankments. The reconstruction also involves raising the interstate and U.S. 275 to accommodate the new railroad corridor for the railroad relocation project, which will require ramp closures and two-way traffic with one lane in each direction on U.S. Highway 275 and Iowa 92. During the construction process, travelers as a result may experience traffic delays and detours, which could impact access to businesses, schools, or other properties. The construction is part of the Council Bluffs Interstate System Improvement Program, a streamlined approach to planned construction projects for Interstate 80, 29, and 480 in the Council Bluffs and Omaha metropolitan area. The program is the single largest project in the DOT's 2014 through 2018 five-year transportation improvement program. If you can't attend the open house on March the 11th, a virtual online meeting will be held that same day and can be accessed by visiting the project website, a link for which is under this same story on KJAN.com under the News tab. News time is 8:03.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane Central Cooling System. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
Well, the City Council in Council Bluffs has received word a business that has been in the community for years will be closing its doors in May, leaving about 250 people without jobs. The Omaha World Herald says Griffin Pipe Products officials notified the mayor and some members of the council about the closing on Monday evening. The notice from U.S. Pipe Holdings of Hoover, Alabama, a subsidiary of U.S. Pipe and Foundry of Birmingham, Alabama, said Griffin Pipe would close its doors on or about May the 3rd. U.S. Pipe purchased Griffin Pipe earlier this year, and in mid-February, about 60 employees of the Council Bluffs plant were let go. At the time of the layoffs, a letter allegedly sent to the affected employees said they could be rehired at a later date if demand for the company's ductile iron pipe had increased. Elsewhere in the news, Atlantic resident Jess Ehrman announced Monday that she's running for the Cass County Recorder's job. Ehrman currently serves as the guidance secretary for the Atlantic High School. She's serving her third year also as secretary for the Atlantic Junior Sports Association and is on the Atlantic Booster Club board. In announcing her candidacy, Ehrman said the reason she's decided to run for office is because she enjoys working with the public and knows with her experience and educational background, she's very capable of the position of Cass County Recorder. Ehrman grew up in the Oneida area and graduated from the CAM High School. She attended AIB College of Business and received an associate's degree in accounting and financial services and is currently working for a double major in accounting and business administration, which she expects to complete at the end of June. Ehrman has 10 years of accounting and bookkeeping experience. She lives in Atlantic with her three sons. The Cass County Recorder's position became open when the current recorder, Joyce Jensen, announced in December that she would plan to retire at the end of her term in office. Governor Terry Branstad on Monday announced his appointments of Iowans to fill various seats on Iowa's boards and commissions. Among them are three people from Atlantic: Teresa Canning, who was appointed to the Mental Health Risk Pool Board, Dr. Keith Leonard, appointed to the Board of Veterinary Medicine, and John Krogman was appointed to the Iowa Workforce Development Board. There are many other persons from around Southwest and Western Iowa that were appointed to various boards and commissions. You can take a look at those appointments and what boards and commissions they'll be working for under this same story on our website. In each case, the appointees' terms begins May the 1st and are subject to Senate confirmation. A 54-year-old woman from Gretna, Nebraska, already serving time for tax evasion, has pleaded guilty to stealing $4.1 million on which she didn't pay taxes. Carolyn Richardson made her plea Monday in Douglas County, Nebraska District Court in Omaha. Her sentencing is scheduled for March the 18th. She faces up to 10 more years in prison. She's already serving a 5-year term. Prosecutors say Richardson stole from Omaha-based Columbo Candy and Tobacco in 2010 and 2011 while working as the company controller. Prosecutors say that she used the money to gamble at Ameristar Casino in Council Bluffs. Columbo has sued Ameristar, saying the casino knew about Richardson's job and her approximate salary and should have known Richardson was gambling with ill-gotten money. Authorities are looking for an inmate they say never returned to a work release facility in Sioux City. Fred Scaletta with the State Department of Corrections said in a news release that 21-year-old Eddie Sandoval Orliard failed to return to the facility from an assigned program meeting. He was placed on escape status Sunday. Sandoval Orliard was transferred to work release on February 14th. He's serving a 10-year sentence for willful injury causing serious injury. Authorities say that Sandoval Rilliard has tattoos on his right ankle and left hand. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers on Monday released a report on his department's most recent arrests and incidents. In the report, Brothers said that on Saturday, 53-year-old Kevin Lindahl of Clarinda was arrested for aggravated assault. Last Thursday, 76-year-old Kenneth Lee Polsley of Blanchard was arrested for first offense operating a motor vehicle while under the influence of alcohol, or OWI. On February 25th, a 15-year-old female from Council Bluffs was picked up as a runaway from Council Bluffs. On February 23rd, a 16-year-old male from Clarinda was arrested for possession of marijuana and possession of drug paraphernalia. And Brothers says on February 11th, 39-year-old Christopher Paul Hamm of Clarinda was arrested on a warrant for violation of his probation and parole. The Mills County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest of a Glenwood man Saturday afternoon on drug charges. 22-year-old Christopher James Kuhn was arrested on a possession of drug paraphernalia charge. Kuhn was being held over the weekend in Mills County Jail on $300 bond. And the trial for a former Harlan Community High School teacher accused of the sexual abuse of a teenager is set to begin this morning at 9:30 at the Shelby County Courthouse in Harlan. 73-year-old Lee Gordon Nelson of Harlan faces sexual exploitation by a school employee and assault with intent to commit sexual abuse charges. If convicted, Nelson could face a maximum of 7-year prison sentence and fines of up to $7,500. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Secretary of State John Kerry has arrived in the Ukrainian capital to show support for that country's government. Kerry touched down in Kiev today as the U.S. announced a $1 billion aid package to Ukraine amid worries that Moscow would extend its military reach past the pro-Russian Ukrainian region of Crimea. Russia's state-controlled natural gas giant Gazprom has already announced that it would hike the price on gas supplies to the Ukraine. Russian President Vladimir Putin is talking tough in his first public comments about Ukraine. Putin said Western nations are driving Ukraine into anarchy, and he warns that any sanctions placed on Russia for Russian troops taking control of Ukraine's Crimea region will backfire. Putin has ordered tens of thousands of Russian troops in Russia to move away from the Ukraine border, but he says Moscow reserves the right to protect Russians in the Ukraine. News time is 8:10.
I told you this house was too good to be true. We haven't even been here a month, and the furnace won't start, the toilet keeps backing up, and the bathtub has a constant drip.
I told you I will fix everything this weekend.
No, that's what you said last weekend before the toilet broke. And remember the last time you tried to fix the furnace? Yeah, the fire department had to come, and we were the laughingstock of the whole town. Seriously, if you don't call Bob today, I'm going to stay with my parents.
Hi, this is Bob at Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, your local train dealer in Fontenelle. Let me help you keep the fire burning in your marriage and not in your basement by completing all those honey-do lists for you. No job is too big or small when it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing. Just call me at 1-877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
And in our funeral announcements, Gene Dunshee, age 88, of Clarinda, has died. Funeral services for Gene Dunshee will be today at 10:30 at the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Clarinda. Ritchie Funeral Home in Clarinda has arrangements. Verdella Smith, age 89, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Friday at the Heritage House. Memorial services for Verdella Smith will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Jill Steffens Blotney, age 65, of Carson, has died. Funeral services for Jill Steffens Blotney will be today at 11 o'clock at the Wheeler Grove United Church of Christ in rural Carson. Plus Funeral Home in Carson is in charge of the arrangements. William Steele, age 84, of Anita, died February 22nd. Funeral services for William Steele will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Ida Faye Lichtig, age 90, who's formerly of Defiance, died Sunday. A massive Christian burial service for Ida Faye Lichtig will be Wednesday at 1:30 at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Defiance. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Marguerite Marge Eblin, age 89, of Greenfield, died Friday at the Community Care Center in Stewart. Funeral services for Marge Eblin will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Marcella Claire Morford McCleary, age 84, of Dexter, died Friday. Memorial services for Marcella McCleary will be Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Penn Center United Methodist Church in rural Earlham. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham has arrangements. Kenneth Hinson, age 88, of Atlantic, died Saturday in Omaha. Memorial services for Kenneth Hinson will be Sunday at 4 o'clock at the First Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. And Courtney Johnston, age 27, of Dexter and formerly of Greenfield, died Friday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Courtney Johnston are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.